Amen. Hello, Serenity Church. Oh, gosh, here we go. I'm going to do it again. Hello, Serenity Church. Yeah, that's more bad. Act like you want to be here, right? So this retreat named SCORE, who doesn't want to score, right? If you haven't been on that, get with Jesslyn or Logan. Get signed up in October. For October, it fills up pretty quick. Our next point of action is we're going to pass these baskets around and put all your money in it and your wallet and your credit cards and all that good stuff. What we do with this money is Serenity Church, as a church, ties to other things as well. And so not all the money that goes in those baskets just comes to us and paying our bills here, but it goes to other things as well. Shipwrights gets a piece of it. The First Christian has a recovery house, a sober living home itself, and we give a piece to that. And Maranatha Ministries, we give a piece there. So there's several other. I think there's a couple of more I'm missing, I'm sure. I think the sober living house that some of the guys that are here, I think the Oxford House, yes, the Oxford House gets a piece of that too. So, man, your money is being spread out, and it goes to a lot of different things, doing a lot of different good. So if you could share there. Also, you can give on the Tithely app. You can scan that. Me and Trina do that. That way, I never forget. It's just part of what we do, you know. And I got called out one time, like, I've noticed you're not really consistent in your giving. And I said, whoa, you're right. And it was truth, man, and I needed to be called out on that. And so to make sure that we are consistent, we just sign up with the Tithely app, and it goes straight out of our account. We never even miss it, really. You can't outgive God. So one of the things that I want to start out with here, too, is I'm not sure if y'all understood that we're moving to door number two. Door number two. And where's Roger? He ain't even looking. Door number two. I told Roger, I was in a meeting earlier this week and I had these glasses on. He said, you got to have the glasses on. You got to wear the glasses. So that's about all you're getting. All right.
What's behind door number two?
Serenity Church. Woo! Behind door number two. And the other thing is yes. Okay. Pull out your phones and take a picture of that. So you won't, and here's the deal, you might need to know the address. And here's why you might need to know the address. You're out visiting, you're out having lunch with somebody else, and you're talking about your church. Let me tell you, how can I, well, you go over to the mall. Now, just give them the address. So take a picture of that. And when you're out and about this week or for the next few weeks, you're going to be running into people. And you can say, right, here's the address. Just take this address and Google it, put it in your Google Maps, and I'll see you on Saturday. It's a real easy way to get people to come to church with you. The other thing, Logan hammered, and I want to hammer you too. We're going to need some help tomorrow at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. How many is going to be here? Okay, I know I'm putting some people on the spot. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's get into this message. And last week, Jess stood here and she started her message with a grammar lesson. And I know why she did that, because whenever I put out there that our next sermon series for the month was going to be Fruits of the Spirit, my own wife called me down and said, there's no S on that. And I was like, well, there's multiple things that we're talking about here. It's fruits. And of course, Jesslyn straightened us out last week. And no, it's fruit. And so how I reconcile that in my hillbilly brain is that I don't go to a fruits stand. I go to a fruit stand. There's multiple fruit at a fruit stand. But I don't say fruits stand. So it makes sense now, right? Okay, so now we're past the funny stuff. Like as I said, this whole month we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you've maybe you've not been a Christian long, maybe this church thing is just brand new to you. And so what are we talking about? Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. What spirit are we talking about? And if you'll open your bulletin up. Who don't have a bulletin? Okay, we need one bulletin right there. And if you'll open your bulletin up, on the inside right-hand side, there's some fill-in-the-blanks. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Robert will get you a pen. And I want you to write a few things down. But I want to, first, before we know what this fruit is, we might need to know where it's coming from, right? I was kind of copying you a little bit. We might need to know where it's coming from. That was a David Christensen move there. So if you'll turn to John 14, 15 through 17. And if you need a Bible, he's got one of those too. But most of us got a Bible on our phone. I mean, that's what I'm into now. Like I can just pull that up and click. I have one that I read and I write in and all that. But in a situation like this, man, I just need to move and shake and be fast with it. I can get there pretty quick on my phone. So John 14, 15 through 17. Now this is Jesus talking. And our goal is to find out what spirit we're talking about. What is this spirit? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Okay, keep that in mind, the Spirit of truth. "The world cannot accept him because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you." Okay, so even just right here, we've it's the Spirit of truth. He's the helper. The Spirit is the helper. If you'll go on down to verse 26 there, it says, "But the helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you." This helper is the Holy Spirit. And that's who we're talking about. The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit we're talking about. The Spirit of truth. The helper. The teacher. I want you to look at that scripture right there. And it says, "The Holy Spirit will teach you." That's what I decided when I came across that. I decided, well, that's what I'm going to name this message, is the teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. What will he teach you? He will teach you the fruit of the Spirit. He'll teach you love. He'll teach you joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And did y'all see that as a fill in the blank? I'm usually not very good at reminding y'all to that, but my wife does this and she underlines it. So should be the same thing you're seeing. All right. He will teach us, the Holy Spirit will teach us these things. And so I'm trying to understand. And I know me before I was following Jesus. And I decide to follow Jesus, but I still I don't have patience. I still I'm a little self-centered. I don't know gentleness and let's not even get into self-control. I don't have any of that stuff. But I'm following Jesus. I'm learning. I'm reading His Word. I'm hanging out with other Christians. I'm doing this stuff right. But I just don't got these things. So how does the Holy Spirit teach me the fruits? It's through our trials. through our trials. You don't know that you don't have patience until you have a trial to test your patience, right? And in that trial, the Holy Spirit will teach you patience. In that trial, the Holy Spirit will teach you goodness. In that trial, the Holy Spirit will teach you self-control. This is how we're taught. And for us in recovery, we have we're the lucky ones, I believe. I believe we're the lucky ones because we've been out there in those trials and trying to scrap our way through it. And we find ourselves into the rooms of recovery. And then we're introduced to the 12 steps. And so in those 12 steps, we look at it, and in step one, we admit we do not possess these fruit. We don't have self-control. My life is unmanageable. I don't have patience. I'm self-centered. I was told a long time ago, because I was sitting in a meeting one time and we was talking about step one and I'm powerless over XYZ and my life is unmanageable. And I was sitting across from a guy who had a three-piece suit on, a Rolex watch, and I saw him pull up in a Mercedes. I said, he looks like he's got it going on. How is he saying step one is like he's unmanageable? I heard him share he's still got his wife and the kids and all that. And he's brand new. But he's saying he's unmanageable and he's powerless. Why? He looks like on the outside he's got it going on. But he can't manage not to do that thing that's killing him. He can't manage not to do that thing. And once I understood that, I was like, wow, this self-control thing is a big deal. And it's most of the time, a lot of this stuff happens in secret. We may look perfect on the outside. On the inside, we may have some stuff that we are completely out of control of. And so, in step one, we admit that we don't possess this fruit. In step two, we come to believe that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're three in one, can give us this fruit. Restore us to sanity. And step three, we ask for the fruit. I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the care of you, Lord, and give me everything you got. I'm asking for this fruit. Step four, us and God examine our hearts. Step five, we confess those things that we've examined are objectionable to us. And then we ask God to remove this. Remove those things from us. Remove those things that are blocking us from receiving this fruit. And then at the end of step five, what happens? At the end of step five, on page 75 in the AA Big Book, it says this. We can be at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We began to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That feeling that our problems have disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. The Holy Spirit. Somehow, through this process, we start to connect with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for recovery. Because I'm telling you, for me, without that, I would have never. I went to church my whole life. I sat right on the front row. Anytime they said, if you need some prayers and you want to confess some sin, I came down. The guy sat down beside me. I wrote it down. He stood up in front of the church and said, Shay's been sinful. As usual, and could we pray for him for those sins to be removed and lifted off of him over and over and over and over and over again? Zero self-control, zero patience, zero joy, not much love. But when I was introduced into recovery and I went through that process, my fears fell from me. and I felt the nearness of my Creator. And I felt like I was walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe, the Holy Spirit. See, our fears fall from us, and what that tells me is most of my life I operated with the spirit of fear. Not the Holy Spirit. Not the spirit of joy, peace, love, self-control. That spirit was not who I was rolling with. I operated in the spirit of fear. See, my fifth step proved it. My fourth and fifth step proved it. I looked back and everything that affected me, I had fear written out beside it. And I didn't even know that as I was writing that fourth step out. And I'd write fear out here because that's one of the things that how it affected me. And I had fear in this situation. And I wrote some more. And I had fear in that situation. I wrote some more. I had fear in that situation. I look back at that with my sponsor, and he said, "Man, you're afraid of everything." I said, "What? I ain't afraid of nothing." I was afraid he was going to think I was afraid. I was afraid of everything. Afraid of everything. And so, what are the fruit of fear? Fruits of fear? Fruit of fear, right? And the fruit of fear, and you can write this down, is anger, hate, suspicion, division. It drives people towards control, conformity, conflict, selfishness, and self-centeredness. I was sharing with somebody before the service about this, and that I was going to talk about a spirit of fear, and it occurred to me that there's still some things missing. My fear will also keep me from being connected to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is urging me to step through a doorway of let me tell you, I never raised my hand once and said, "I want to stand here and do this." But let me tell you, the blessings that come from it are unreal. I look now and like, what all of that I would have missed if I said no. The spirit of fear will keep you from doing what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do also. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." Let me read that again. God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. I need power. I need love, and I need self-control. I need all of those things. The really good news is for us as admitted powerless people is that we receive power. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us power. And how is the Holy Spirit's power demonstrated in us? If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive some power. It teaches us how to love. It teaches us self-control. But how is power demonstrated? And power in us is demonstrated through grace, endurance, and transformation. Through grace, suddenly we are able to forgive people. You know, going back to the steps, if you keep going through this process, you'll come to a step 9 where it says we make amends to those we have harmed. My amends list was a whole lot of people who harmed me. But I had to put out of my mind what they did and concentrate and focus on what I did, my part, and forgive them for that. Not bringing up at all what they did. It's not about them. It's about me. It gives us a power of forgiveness, grace. It gives us a power of endurance. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in meetings and I see guys walk in and they get a couple of months under their belt, and then month three gets tough. Man, that third month is, I hear it all the time, that third month is a killer, dude. And it disappears. Man, you have to have endurance and that Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty of overcomers, is we call on Jesus and overcomers. And I've said this before, AANA and all those other anonymous meetings, they're necessary. They're absolutely necessary, but you can't call on the name of Jesus in there. Thank God for overcomers, because it's necessary for my endurance. Jesus is necessary for me to endure what I have to go through every day. And so being able to call on Jesus, He gives us the endurance, the power to not give up. My favorite scripture, Galatians 6:9. Keep moving forward. Don't give up. You're going to receive a reward. And I always say that reward, yes, it's talking about a reward in heaven, but I'm talking about, I like rewards now, and you can receive those rewards now too. But you can't give up. Endurance. And then transformation. Man, I am not who I used to be. And I can look around this room, man, and see people transformed. I know you when you walk in. Oh, we don't even want to get started with you. Thank God you came back. Transformation. In his wildest dreams, would he ever be a pastor? In his wildest dreams. My wildest dreams. If you'd have told me that, I'd been like, you're nuts. Transformation. A power of transformation that comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to go back to that forgiveness thing and tell a little story. And I've told this story a time or two, and some of you will probably remember it, but I worked for Metro Relief, and in that organization, I also had Serenity Church Metro, and so it was a little bit of a partnership. And on Saturday mornings, I drove a 16-passenger van, and a lot of people from Serenity Church would load up into that van, and they'd have all their breakfast and their cans of drinks and Monsters and Bangs and all the caffeine and everything, sugar that we needed to get going in the morning, right? And then we'd get there, and we'd serve, and we'd do our deal. We'd come back, and then everybody would leave afterwards. And on Monday morning, we'd have a meeting, and there was another man who drove that van on Monday morning. And he mentioned to me, hey man, there sure is a lot of trash on Monday morning in that van. And I said, oh, I'll get it, no problem. And I'm not very good at stuff like that. And so I got it out one time and this, that, and the other. And then a few weeks go by. And of course, I'm not very good at picking up after myself. And so the meeting was over, and I go out to my truck, and there's a pile of trash in my front seat. Big pile of trash in my, and I see the Monster cans and the wrappers and the donuts, and I know exactly where this trash came from. And I know exactly who put it there. Patience, love, joy, tolerance, self-control. I need all that right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. And I paused. I picked that stuff up. I went to the trash can, threw it in there, got my truck and drove off and went home. I never said a word to him about it, ever. There's more to that story. So, this was years and years ago. I never let on that I even knew. And I continued to work with this man. And so, he moved on to another place, and I moved on to another place, but I could still see him on Facebook and different things. And every now and again, from time to time, I send out a text to hundreds of people that I'm thinking about you, and I haven't told you I love you in a long time. I want you to know I love you. And I was scrolling through my phone, and his name was on the list. And I sent that to him, and he replied right back, "Did you relapse? Are you drinking? Are you drunk?" I said, "No, I just want to tell you I love you." Well, I looked on his Facebook, and he started a new business. He fixes RV campers. And so I reached out to him. Our camper, the slide-out broke down, and it wouldn't work. And I reached out to him, and I said, "Hey, man, do you think you can, you know, work on this?" And he said, "Yeah, let me come check it out." And so he drove a couple hours away where he was living to my house to check it out and look at it and everything. And he said, "Sure, we can get it fixed. But it's going to be about $4,000 to $6,000. Trina, we're about to sell a camper. We're done with this. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do." And standing there talking, and he says, "I tell you what, I can get all the parts for that for like $1,500. And if you'll help me do it, we'll just do it." I said, "Absolutely." He said, "It'll be a couple of weeks before the stuff's in." He came back with all the parts a couple of weeks later, and we fixed my camper. And while we were fixing the camper, he stopped for a minute. We stood in the front yard, and he made an amends to me. He said, "Man, I was a jerk. I can't believe that people didn't, you know, and you didn't, and all this stuff. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And I said, "Man, that's all gone, dude. We're way past that. You just fixed my camper. We're good." We was way past that before that. But that's the thing, man. That's the thing that the Holy Spirit will do. If you call on the Holy Spirit in a moment like that, man, I could have destroyed that friendship. We still communicate. We're going to go out to eat dinner. You know, me and Trina went over to their house and saw their new home and all that kind of stuff. None of that would have ever happened if I would have barged back through that door and threw that trash in the floor and said, "Let's get it on." But I asked for the Holy Spirit to give me patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. He did. See, that's a trial where the teacher was teaching. And a complete different outcome. Years, even years later, he works for us. How is the spirit of love demonstrated in us? See, I said he gives the Holy Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control, right? How does he demonstrate love? Anybody? Patience, kindness, and sacrifice. How was I taught that? For years, we took people off the street into our home. People that are strung out, homeless. And if you don't know about some homeless, strung out people, they're a little bit entitled. A little bit entitled. And you need to have some patience. I remember we had three guys in a living room. We had one guy on a cot in our dining room and another guy on a cot in the kitchen. And I came in there one night just like, "Oh, God, I want my home back." But my kids were raised like this. They didn't know any different. They were grown up. They've grown up learning these things. Patience, kindness, and sacrifice. My kids, I think about, they sacrificed the most. No grumbling. Whenever you are part of something like that, you become the ride. You're paying their rent. You're paying their water bill. You're feeding them. You become their caretaker. And you have to be kind in the face of entitlement. That's the Holy Spirit teaching me patience, kindness, and sacrifice. And next and last on this list of fruit, the thing that I understand the least, self-control. Self-control. When I first heard this list of fruits, when I first heard this list of fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I thought I had to produce those things myself. I thought, once I follow Jesus, then I have to be kind. I have to have love and joy and patience and peace and I have to have this self-control. I have to produce these things myself, which is not the case. Thank God I was wrong. See, I need to be taught self-control. The teacher, the Holy Spirit, will teach you self-control. But you have to let Him. You have to let Him. The Holy Spirit will let you run your own life. It's fine. He'll let you run your own life. The Bible talks about God punishing. And I do believe that God punishes. But when you think of a punishment, how do you think of a punishment? I think of being put in time out. I think of something forced on me, right? I think of being smacked up against the head. I've been punched in the face. I've been reprimanded every way possible. God does not do that. Hear me. God does not punish us like that. What God does is pull His hands off you. Okay. You want to run on your own? That, my friend, is a punishment. The world will punish you. It's not God. There's a enemy, and this is his domain. And if you are on your own, God's like this. He'll let you be on your own. He'll reach out every now and again, and you won't take my hand? Oh, you don't? Okay. He'll let you. And the world will kick your teeth in. It just will. And then people go, well, God's punished me. Yeah, He punished you. He punished you all right. He let you do what you want to do. And so I need to be taught self-control. And how do we let Him teach us self-control? We go back to step 11. We saw it through prayer and meditation. And here's a key word in this step that a lot of people just fly right over. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. The power to have self-control. Let's see, we was in a meeting not too long ago, and I think Trina threw it in her message last time. Randall said in the meeting, the power of His will, the knowledge of His will. He goes, well, I don't really know what God's will is for me, but I know what God's will is not. I know He doesn't want me out there homeless. I know He doesn't want me out there starving. I know He doesn't want me out there cheating on my wife. I know He doesn't want me out there doing things that are against Him. I know what His will is not. And so I look at this step. When I look at this step, and now it's just part of my life every day, and I'm not as good at it as I wish to be, but I need to find a way to improve my conscious contact. Step 10, 11, and 12, we work every day. And if we go back to 10, 11, and 12, and we read that every day, and we go, okay, it's a new day, God. I need to step into 10, 11, and 12. What does that say? I need to improve. Improve on what? Improve on what I did yesterday. Something new. Maybe it's helping somebody. Maybe it's praying for the man who was walking down the road and his back is hurting. Wow, what a story. What a story. Something every day to improve your conscious contact with God. It's a relationship. You have to talk, but you also have to listen through prayer and meditation. This is how He teaches us. The closer I get to God, the closer I am to the Spirit that gives us these fruit. Roger, you can come back up. And band. I pray for self-control. For me, out of all these fruit, I want to say fruits so bad. Out of all these fruit, that self-control thing, man. Sometimes I do stuff without even thinking. I just respond. That self-control thing. I got one last question for you. Are you tonight operating in the fruit of fear? Is that fruit of fear got a hold on you some way? Are you operating in the fruits of the Spirit? In a little while, we're going to have some people come up, man. And I know me, man. I'm not always operating in the fruit of the Spirit. Just not. I don't always have self-control. I'm not always joyful. Not always. I don't always have patience. Oh my goodness. Living in Decatur has ruined me. Drive up here and it's just like, oh, madhouse. There's going to be some guys come up here in a minute and they'll be willing to pray for you. Man, it's like I said a while ago, all you have to do is you have to let Him. You have to let Him. And that step three, we turn our will and our lives over the care of God. And we let Him. We let Him start having control over our lives and teaching us in the midst of these different trials. Just because you get sober doesn't mean your trials are, oh, we're not going to have, you're just going to have different trials. You might not get arrested for DWI. Thank God that trial's gone because I'm not drinking. But there's going to be another one, and then another one, and then another one. And you learn from each one of these trials a fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. Next week, again, we're going to be over there, and we're going to start it out with a bang. I think we did 35 baptisms in this room. 35 baptisms. We're not a giant congregation. 35 baptisms in this room. Wait a minute. I think it's 16 or something like that. Was at my house. In the pool I didn't want. But Serenity Church, this, how many months? 6, 7, 8 months? We hadn't even been here for a year. Yeah, something almost a year. We're starting off with a baptism. I'm setting up the tank. We already have somebody who wants to get in it. And it's going to be warmed up and ready to go. I brought extra water hose because feeling it's going to be different than what we do here. We're going to take it and get it filled up, and the baptistry will be ready. What happens when we are baptized? Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, and who's Peter talking to right here? He's talking to the people who just murdered Jesus. That's who he's talking to. Peter said to them, change your hearts. Repent. Don't do that no more. Stop it. Turn around. Change your heart and your lives and be baptized. Each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Check this out. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that teaches us the fruit. Maybe you're having a little bit of trouble trying to figure that out. This says right here, if you're baptized, you receive forgiveness and you receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean we automatically come up out of that water and we're happy, joyous, and free? And then we got complete self-control from here on out? No. The Holy Spirit will continue to teach us self-control. Those trials will still happen. And we'll get better at it. And He'll teach us some more and we'll get better at it. In that scripture, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, I thought we was talking about an all-powerful God. Why do I got to do anything? If He's all-powerful, why can't He just go, forgive me? You're forgiven. Ah, you're forgiven. And you're forgiven too. Because a price has to be paid for forgiveness. We have a loving, grace-filled, merciful God. We also have a just God. And a price has to be paid for forgiveness. If I steal something from somebody and they find out and I don't give it back to them and they forgive me for that, they paid the price. They paid the loss. They suffered the loss. The price was still paid. This reminded me of a story that I heard, and it helped me understand a little bit more. And it goes something like this. There was a king, and he was a very gracious, very merciful king. But he was also very just. And somebody was stealing from him. And so he called his people in and he said, I need you to find out who is stealing from me. There's stuff coming up missing. And I need to find out who is stealing from me. And when you do, it's 20 lashes. 20 lashes to the person that is stealing from me. Now go, find them. This kept happening. It kept on happening. And a little bit later, these people came back and they said, we're sorry, King. We're sorry. We can't figure it out. We know that there's someone still stealing things from you, but we can't figure out who it is. And the king said, I am a gracious, loving, merciful God, but I am also just. When you find out who is doing this, it's going to be 30 lashes. And his people went out to find out who it was. Weeks went by, and he kept being stolen from. And the people came back to him and said, King, it's still happening. We don't know who it is, but it's still happening. And the king said, I am a gracious, loving, merciful God, King, but I'm also just. When you find the person that's doing this, it's 40 lashes. If you know anything about those times in the Bible that talks about 40 lashes, it's basically a death sentence. And so he sent those people out again to find out who was stealing from him. And when they found out who was stealing from them, they came to the king and said, King, it's your daughter. And so the king was faced with the fact of being a gracious, loving, merciful God and a just God. And they said, King, what do we do? He said, I'm a just God. I'm a just king. And so they took his daughter and laid his daughter over the place to get the 40 lashes, the death sentence. And right before, when the man was pulling up to hit her for the first time, the king dropped his robe and laid over the top of his daughter and said, now hit her. They said, we can't. You're laying over the top. And he just looked back and said, hit her. He took the lashes. He took the penalty for you. Jesus paid the price. We have a loving, gracious, merciful God. And he's also just. Praise the Lord, we are not forced to pay that price because it's already been paid. That's the forgiveness you receive. So if you want to come be baptized next week and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the water will be warm. If you need prayer, come forward. There'll be some guys come up. Come on, guys. I know these people here. You don't have to even say anything. You don't have to tell them what it is. You don't have to. Just come forward. They'll pray for you. They're in pretty good contact with the Holy Spirit. I promise you. Three o'clock tomorrow. Right here. We need some help. Door number next week. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for a church that there is no mask. Lord, I thank you for the teacher who teaches us self-control, patience, joy, gentleness, kindness, peace, all those fruit of the Spirit. Lord, as we continue to live this life and go through these trials, help us to continue to allow you to teach us. In your name we pray.
Let's stand once more. Let's stand.